Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, February 27th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Mugabe arrived in Victoria Falls this evening for his birthday bash that some say may cost up to $1 million.
I think that in an economy where many people are facing poverty, unemployment, it's really an indication of our misplaced priorities as a country.
MDCT Secretary General Douglas Munzora accuses ZANU-PF of using the police and state prosecutors to target him in an attempt to tarnish his image and political career.
And police today stopped Zimrights from holding a meeting to explain the new constitution to the people in Chitungwiza.
President Robert Mugabe arrived in Victoria Falls this evening for his million-dollar birthday bash at Elephant Hills Hotel tomorrow. Many high-level ZANU-PF officials, including ministers Jonathan Moyo, Obet Mpofu, Christopher Mchangwa, and others, lined up to meet Mr. Mugabe at Victoria Falls International Airport. Mr. Mugabe turned 91 last week, with critics saying he's now too old and should therefore relinquish power. Some have even suggested his wife Grace is now pulling the strings in both the government and ZANU-PF. But in an interview with the ZBC yesterday, Mr. Mugabe declared he is still firmly in charge. For Perspective, Jonga Kandemiri reached political analyst Charles Mangongera.
We hear that they are pulling all the stops to make sure that this is a bash of a kind. I think that in an economy where, you know, many people are facing, you know, poverty, unemployment and other problems, it's really an indication of our misplaced priorities as a country that we are going to be spending over $1 million celebrating the president's birthday when that money could actually be put to, you know, good use. People don't have running water, people don't have electricity, refuse is not being collected, potholes are all over the place.
At 91, is Mr. Mugabe still capable of ruling the country, Mr. Mangongera?
You know, you have to give it to him. If you look at Mr. Mugabe and compare with other 91-year-olds, you could say he's in that unique position where he has continued to demonstrate, you know, mental presence, you know, physical ability. But to be honest, you know, at 91, one is expected to be retired.
That was political analyst Charles Mwangongera on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Meanwhile, Mr. Mugabe told ZBC black farmers who were allocated large farms under the land reform program are failing to fully utilize them. Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya.
This is one in many retractions that have been said in the past few weeks. By ZANU-PF officials. Even Mutasa said that this whole thing was haphazard. Our policy system, this scenario was not very well planned. Now, it shows that initially the motive behind land reform was not productivity and food security. It was to satisfy a political aim to try and pacify a population that was tired of dictatorship. It was Mugabe's alternative for political survival. And I am saying I am glad that the old man on his deathbed has realized the truth.
Do you see the government taking any remedial action based on Mr. Mugabe's admission?
Well, look, I'm not going to start flapping my wings with excitement. You know, this whole thing, you know, bruh, it's a thing that revolves around constitutional provisions. Our constitution is a two-way off the mark. As long as the government does not do things in the right priority, in the right order, recognize property rights, ensure that the original and landowners are compensated, those that do not want to get back in farming, they resurvey these lands, each and every landowner has got a proper title deed which they can use as collateral. So it's a whole array of alternative methodologies that this government can use. But then, like I'm saying, he has sacrificed, rational on the altar of political expediency. I don't see him, retracting this huge policy mistake.
That was political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya.
Movement for Democratic Change Secretary General Douglas Monzora is accusing the ruling ZANU-PF party of using the police and state prosecutors to target him in an attempt to tarnish his image and political career. The statement follows High Court Judge Garainesu Muwadze's ruling yesterday, dismissing an appeal by Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana to overturn Monzora's acquittal by the Magistrate Court on two counts of theft of trust funds. Justice Muwadze said Tomana's appeal lacked merit. Monzora tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that his latest acquittal proves that most charges leveled against him are politically motivated.
Well, I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling good because justice has been done. I feel that I should not have gone through all this. This was a trumped up charge in order to give the impression that I was somebody not suitable and not honest. But I'm so happy that justice has been done. I should not have been charged in the first place because the evidence that was there was clearly in my favor. But this was a political trial.
How many cases do you still have that are pending, Mr. Monzora?
I have gone through 34 cases right now that I have been falsely accused, and I've been acquitted on the 34 occasions. I'm still having two more cases. One is for public violence, one is for theft again. These theft charges and fraud charges are brought in order to affect my career as a lawyer. They think that my strength lies in my legal knowledge. Having been part of the writing of the Constitution, having been a law lecturer, having been a defender of human rights, they want to kill that. And they want to affect my career. So they think that if they bring charges of dishonesty, that will drive clients away from me, and that will affect my business. So I have two more cases to go, and I am sure that in those two cases, I will be acquitted because I did nothing wrong.
That was MDCT Secretary General Douglas Monzora speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, police today stopped Zimrights from holding a meeting on the new constitution in Chitungwiza. In Bulawayo, two MDC renewal team officials were charged under the same law for distributing flyers informing people about a rally the party will have with the MDC wing of Welshman Ncube about their plans to merge the two parties. Reggie Moyo and Rita Ndlovu were charged today and are expected to appear in court next week. Zimrights director Okay Machisa told Studio 7 that they'll take their case to the Constitutional Court.
We had all the necessary documents that gave us the green light to proceed with our meeting. We had the police clearance. We had mobilized quite a number of people. But unfortunately, we had some visitors from the DA's office as well as some individuals from the president's office who then indicated that we were doing something that is outside law. We were very shocked to have such visitors. We tried to reason with them that this is not provided by the Constitution. What we know for sure is that we are doing things that are at law, but we were forced to cancel the show, and then we had to then to go to the DA's office. But then what I would want to indicate to the people of Zimbabwe is that we are now in a process of lodging a constitutional case with the Constitutional Court so that these matters should be clarified and put to rest, put to a full stop once and for all, because there is no way out. A DA sitting somewhere there would play a regulatory role when the police are there.
That was Zimrights Director Okay Machisa on the line from Harare. We also reached Reggie Moy of the MDC renewal team, who was charged under POSA today.
Today when I went to the police, I went with my lawyer, Ms. Ruta Kapulu, and we met the member in charge and his team. They made me sign a warrant and caution statement, which they were accusing me of convening a meeting, actually a procession which took place on Monday from the large city hall via the market place to Ekwotin back to the large city hall. But then we refuted that because there was never any convention of a procession that took place served to say there was a meet the people or a face-to-face program. And besides, that program had been organized by the party, not specifically by me. And we thought it was not in any way in violation of any laws. And the Constitution states clearly, and they were using the wrong act to actually charge me. So it later on emerged that the police didn't have even a single evidence to charge me. They were only relying on that I would actually provide the information for them to arrest me.
And that was Reggie Moy of the MDC Renewal Team on the line from Bulawayo with Studio 7.
The Gweru City Council has been compelled to reverse a hike in tariffs following a local government ministry directive. Correspondent Taura Ishawa brings us more.
The Gweru City Council, which at the end of January had effected a 35% hike on some rates and tariffs as proposed in its 2015 budget, was compelled by the local government ministry to reverse the increase as the ministry is yet to approve the budget. Chairman Albert Chirau of the Council's Finance Committee, who confirmed the directive, told Studio 7 that the ministry had said Council needs to rationalize the salaries of management and senior staff and to ensure that wages and salaries do not gobble more than 30% of the local authority's revenue in accordance with ministry regulations.
That is very true, and I think to me it makes sense. There's no way we can effect a new rate before it is the minister has approved that, because the minister is the authority. So we need to adhere to that. And I'm sure to those that have already paid the new rates, there's always a system, I think, at council whereby you are reimbursed or you remain in credit.
Chirau said council is working to fulfill the ministry's guidelines and hopes that the budget will be approved soon. At the end of January and earlier this month, some Gweru residents staged demonstrations in protest against council's proposed rates and tariff hike, as well as the local authority's decision to hand over defaulting ratepayers to debt collectors. Chirau revealed that council had recently adopted a resolution seeking to provide some relief to hard-pressed residents.
Council generated a resolution, which is a policy, where we said lawyers should temporarily suspend attachment of our residents' properties for the next 6 months. And during that period, when they'll be paying that the money they owe to council, they should enjoy a 20% discount on the money they owe to council. Those that are 90 days and below should approach council and make payment plans so that they can liquidate what they owe to council. And then to those that are religiously paying their bills, they also need to enjoy the reward of being a good citizen. We are going to award them 30% discount on every payment they make from now until the next 6 months, so that we can also motivate them to continue to be good citizens.
Cornelius Elipiwe is the chairperson of the Gweru Residents and Ratepayers Association, one of the residents' representative groups whose members participated in recent demonstrations against council. Selipiwa says the reversal of the rates and tariff hike is welcome.
That's actually sweet music to our ears, and we believe that eventually Honorable Minister Chombo will reject the budget in line with what the central bank governor said, John Mangujika, when he said no salary increase this year.
Elsewhere, some Gweru vendors who sell their products on the city's streets say they would like to meet the local authority and government representatives to find ways of stopping illegal vending. In January, local government minister Ignatius Chombo issued a directive to local authorities in towns and cities across the country, instructing them to get rid of illegal vendors who are accused of littering and crowding the streets, disturbing other people from going about their day-to-day activities. But the vendors say hardships brought by unemployment due to the country's economic problems are forcing them into illegal vending. 49-year-old Pumuliki Kandege started selling fruits and vegetables from outside one of the supermarkets in Gweru in 2012 when her contract as a peer educator with one non-governmental organization ended. Kandege says she and her fellow vendors are law-abiding citizens who are trying to earn an honest living but often suffer abuse at the hands of municipal police.
We don't refuse to pay council for vending fees, but council workers who are supposed to collect the money don't come to us. And we choose to sell from these undesignated points because the designated areas are away from the people.
Another vendor, Tendai Rujizo, agrees with Kandege and accuses the municipal police of being corrupt. Munyarazi Maroja, who also sells his wares from an undesignated point, says the vendors have on several occasions tried to meet with council officials without success. Studio 7 was not able to get comment from council authorities on the issue, but sources say council resolved during a meeting last week to meet with vendors as soon as possible. While admitting that their presence is sometimes annoying, Gweru resident Titus Mangoma says vendors provide a service that is essential to ordinary people.
If we look deeper into the situation, we can see that these vendors are providing affordable prices to ordinary Zimbabweans.
Some observers say until the country's economy recovers and industry begins working at full capacity again so that ordinary people start getting gainful employment, it will be difficult for both local authorities and government to rid the streets of vendors. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shava.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Toki Vibes, Chris, light up your weekend entertainment trail.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The International Criminal Court has upheld its acquittal of Congolese militia leader Matteo Ngudjolo 2 years after finding him not guilty of war crimes and crimes against humanity. In a 3-2 majority ruling, the Hague-based court today rejected an appeal by prosecutors who had wanted a retrial in the case.
Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko says his military is ready to return its heavy weapons to the front lines in eastern Ukraine, noting that Russian-backed rebels are still violating ceasefire deal reached earlier this month. Mr. Poroshenko today said Ukraine's army is ready at any moment to stand up to the enemy.
And Mexican federal police say they have captured one of the nation's most notorious drug lords, Silvano La Tuta Gomez. Gomez was the leader of the Knights Templar cartel that dominated politics and commerce across Michoacan in Mexico. He was the latest in a string of Knights Templar chiefs to be brought down by the federal officials. In the second part of our interview with the National Parks and Wildlife Authority's Acting Conservation Director, Geoffrey Smatipano, he explains the process being taken as Zimbabwe prepares to export elephants to decongest habitats in areas where human-wildlife conflicts are increasing, with biodiversity being destroyed. Conservation groups, including the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force, say they are concerned by the planned exports, citing a number of issues, including the conditions the elephants are being kept in before shipment and the quality of the places where they will eventually live. We spoke with him earlier on.
The first thing when we receive an application and we have vetted, we have decided that we want to sell animals to this country, what we do is we dispatch our experts, ecologists and the veterinarians. They will go to this country and visit the particular sites where these animals are going to be kept. They carry out a suitability assessment of these areas, and they have to come back and make an appropriate, proper report, which is quite objective. If the area is not suitable, they will say it, and we will not export animals to such countries. If it is suitable, then they will say it is suitable. Then when we are capturing animals in the field, we make sure that we capture animals during the appropriate season, particularly cool season, where we don't expose animals to high temperatures so that animals will not die due to this capture method. And when the animals are captured, it is done by experienced, skilled veterinarians. It's not just anyone, you know, just capturing these. And we put them in facilities that match appropriate standards. These are international standards. And in these facilities, we keep these animals a bit of time, let's say up to 3 months, so that these animals get used to people preparing these animals for translocation. And the type of transport we use that is approved transport. There is IUCN standards related to transportation of the animals. There is also IATA, you know, international standards when you are using aircraft. So we follow these standards and make sure that the animals are not injured during the way. And when they arrive at their places, also veterinarians accompany these animals and make sure that they are given proper treatment, proper care until the final release. It's not just getting to that country and they release the animal, what we call hard release. No, it will be soft, it will be gradual. The animals being monitored and then finally they are released into the areas. And there is always a post-release monitoring program, you know, for these animals when they've reached their destination. See, I don't see where these animal rights groups coming in with the complaints and where they are getting problems. Their problems might be just hitting a particular destination. Their problems might be just to trying to stifle economic development in particular areas, particularly those countries that are giving away these animals to suitable destinations. So people have seen that, like mining, agriculture, wildlife, these are key components of the Zimbabwean economy. So you find some people, they try to come as animal rights groups, yet their focus is actually to deal with the economy, to just curtail development in the country. So sometimes we think that these are animal rights, you know, people, yet it's a different face altogether.
That was National Parks and Wildlife Authority's Acting Conservation Director, Geoffrey Smatupano, on the line from Harare. Please stay tuned for Marvelous Mplanga later on. She will be speaking with Toki Vibes ahead of his weekend shows in London.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C. We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. And now we go to sports, Sandy. What do we have?
It's a bumper sports weekend, Chris, ahead of the start of the 2015 Kasolaga Premier Soccer League program. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
Three different sports events take center stage over the weekend in what is a bumper weekend for sports lovers. Topping the entertaining bill is the CAF Confederations Cup encounter between Zimbabwe's FC Platinum and visiting Kenya's Sofapaka at Mandava Stadium in Zishavane. The Zimbabweans lead 2-1 following that victory in Nairobi, but coach Norman Mapesa is not promising anything.
It's still a long way. We'll never know what is going to happen, but we'll push. We'll push. One step at a time.
Then comes the Bob 91 Super Cup semi-final between Capes United and Highlanders, in which the winner will face defending champions Dynamos on March 8. Capes United captain Adlife Zirekwi, who was rumored to be moving to Boso, is remaining at Capes United, but faces the same team. For Islanders, it is the time for them to parade their new boys in front of the paying public. Chief Executive Officer Ndumiso Gumede speaks. The icing on the cake will be the Cricket World Cup match between Zimbabwe and Pakistan on Sunday. This is a game which the Zimbabweans need to win at all costs to remain on course for a place in the Super 8 stage. But after the humiliating defeat at the hands of the West Indies, things do not look all that promising for the Chevrons. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thanks, Michael. And now for our musical segment, where Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye caught up with the man of the moment, Toki Vibes, who is performing in London tonight. Let's take a listen to their conversation.
No, it wasn't in my plan, but the plan was in me. I didn't know that I would be a musician, but you know, when it was meant to be yours, it's yours, and nobody can take it away from me. is in you. You can't take it away from you. Pagwira meno akadzika. Birihombe kune akadzika. I love music from the onset. I fell in love with it, and then I just decided to sing. Chokipa zvinenge zvanaka usatikanganwe.
Mai topikande kukanganwe. What exactly are you talking about in this song, Mai?
Yeah, way back from the rural areas, Mashingo. My mom used to tell me that, my son, your things are going to be well, but just be humble in your way, and then always remember to come back.
Have you been back? And what is your mother saying now that you're successful?
Yeah, she's so proud of me.
We've seen a lot of music coming out of what we'd call the ghetto community. Where did your music career start?
The ghetto called Drugare. That's when we started recording, but we used to go to Mbare, Highfield, Chitungwiza, Kuwazana, almost all of the ghettos there. They got backyard studios. That's when Zimdanto came from. So we used to go just to record to the studios.
Are you going back and investing back into those studios?
Of course, I have to do that because that's where I come from, so I don't have to forget.
And we saw that you went back to some of your communities where you were raised and you were giving back.
It's an orphanage from Ugaris. It's so difficult for the other people to earn a living. Why? They don't have parents. We are the parents, so if I've got something, we have to share that.
Just going back to your career, how would you inspire other youngsters out there?
There's two things you need to have in life. It's focus and discipline. If you got discipline, you will learn how to respect other people. Yo, and focus.
Oh, wow.
Almost, if you don't have focus, there is no way you will go. You should know where you're coming from, know who you are, know where you're going. Learn to respect the other people you meet. At times, they won't pay you, but appreciation is bigger than money.
You have a new song asking for forgiveness. Then there was also talk earlier on that you were clashing with other artists. Some were accusing you that your ego had gone big because you had become successful. Did that have anything to do with that track?
No, doesn't have anything to do with that. I don't think about other musicians, but I think about reality. How we live in the community. I've done something wrong to you, but I don't have power in talking. So the only way I can communicate to my people is through music.
That there was the music of Toki Vibe, who spoke to Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from London.
Unfortunately, Chris, time is not on our side and we won't be able to fly to London to listen in to Toki Vibes. Let's recap today's top stories.
President Mugabe arrived in Victoria Falls this evening for his birthday bash that some say may cost up to $1 million.
MDCT Secretary General Douglas Monzora accuses ZANU-PF of using the police and the state prosecutors to target him in an attempt to tarnish his image and political career.
And police today stopped Zimrise from holding a meeting to explain the new constitution to the people in Chitungwiza.
That's our broadcast this evening. But just to remind listeners, Chris, that we still have Live Talk coming up. Please stay tuned. Today we are talking about President Robert Mugabe's birthday celebrations tomorrow.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Praxedes Jeremiah. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.